good to see this number out tonight with your Bibles ready to study. And if you'll turn with me to the 119th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study tonight. The 119th Psalm. And while you're turning there, I'd like to put upon your mind a vital truth. You know, there are many books that play a very important role in our lives. There are books in history and language and books of mathematics and others that play a great role in man's education. And throughout the reading of these books, you'll find that man is able to improve in certain fields. That one is able to educate their mind and able to improve their knowledge of a particular subject by studying and reading and examining a particular book. However, there is another book far more vital and far more important to our welfare than any of those we've mentioned. And that is in regard to this book, the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is indeed what one might call a unique book because it deals with matters that are eternal. And if there's anything that I want to have knowledge about, and if there's anything I want to be educated about, and if there's anything I'd like to know more about, it's the God that created me. The God who is in heaven, the God who made the heavens and the universe, the God who reigns on high. And I come to understand that the only book that reveals anything to me about God is this book itself, the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll remember that Paul talks about that a man only knows the spirit of a man if it's revealed to him. Then he said that the Holy Spirit has searched even the deep things of God and revealed them to us. And he's revealed them to us and has recorded it in this book. So we have the Bible, the Word of God. And as we think about this book for just a moment, there's one thing that I have found is very clear as you read it. And that is, it is what one might call a demanding book. And what I'd like to talk about for just a few moments of our time tonight is the fact that the Bible is a demanding book. The first thing I want us to understand is the Bible demands that it be read and studied. It's true that we may get by in this life without reading some books. There were some books in college my professors told me to read, and I skipped right over them, and I might not know something about that particular subject. But I'll tell you, it didn't hurt my whole welfare. But I want us to understand, this is a book you cannot skip over. And if one has trouble reading, one can get a CD or one can have somebody read it to them. But it's important that we study the book, that we understand the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, you remember Paul told Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved." That he needs to be a workman who rightly divides the word of truth. I want us to understand if one can rightly divide the word of truth, then one can also wrongly divide the word of truth. And how do I keep from wrongly dividing the word of truth? By studying the precepts of God and understanding that the book is the will of God and following His command. If you take your Bible in the Ephesian letter and the third chapter, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he's telling them about the mystery that the Holy Spirit had revealed to him. And that mystery was the gospel, the plan of salvation, God's eternal plan. And he said to them in verse 4 that he revealed it to them in verse 3. Then he said in by verse 4, "By which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He said it is a book that demands to be studied. Do you recognize tonight that this book demands that it be studied, it be observed, and that it be looked over, that it be studied thoroughly? If you take your Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you remember when Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, that Paul makes a statement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. In verse 27, he says, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren." Look at that statement. He said, "I wrote this in particular to the church that's located in the city of Thessalonica. But the charge was that it be read to all the brethren." Then if you take your New Testament, look in the Colossian letter and the fourth chapter. And when you come to the Colossian letter and the fourth chapter, you'll find that Paul basically says the same thing in verse 16 to the Colossians. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read this epistle from Laodicea. You know what Paul is telling the brethren at that time? Study the book. And that charge is true today. We read the epistle that was written to the church at Thessalonica because it's binding on the church at Eastside. We read the epistle to the Philippians and the Colossians and the Ephesians. Why? All those instructions are binding on this congregation. And they're binding upon every Christian. And so tonight I understand this book demands to be read. This book demands to be studied. Now, this book does not mean that God will make you read the book, but demands that you do so. Now, you decide whether you want to or not. But if you want to be pleasing to God, you're going to read His will, and you will study the book. But the second thing I want you to think about is that the Bible demands to be believed. With most books that men write, it matters very little whether you believe them or not. However, with this book, it demands that it be read and studied and believed. Some people say they believe the Bible, but then deny that it is the Word of God. One must believe that this book is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And when Paul was writing to the young evangelist Timothy, he wanted him to understand this important truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice if you will, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us everything we need that we may be complete, that we may be pleasing to Him. It is the breathed out Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, remember in verse 13, that they were commended because they believed the Bible to be the Word of God. He said, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the words of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So the Bible demands to be believed. I thought about that. Must I believe what Moses said about the creation? When I go back and read Genesis 1, must I believe that? Jesus did. In Matthew 19, He said, did you not read that in the beginning? Must I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish? Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, when Jesus was talking about His resurrection, He makes statement about it. He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Must I believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead? I must believe that miracle, that Jesus was the Son of God and had that power. Must I believe that Jesus died and buried and raised from the dead? Yes, I must believe it. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and notice that when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, Paul instructed them what the gospel was. And time won't permit us to look at every verse, but just look at verse 1 beginning. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. Watch it. According to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. Watch it. According to the Scriptures. The Bible demands to be believed. One must believe that Jesus died, buried, and raised from the dead. And that it is according to God's word. And it must be believed that Jesus said He would build His church, and He did. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And in Acts chapter 2, you read where the gospel is proclaimed. And in verse 47, they were being added daily, those who believed and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the Bible is demanded to be believed. But there's a third thing I want to bring to your mind. The Bible is a demanding book because the Bible demands to be obeyed. Not only does it demand to be studied and believed, but one must obey the truth. If a student does not do what the books tell him, you know what he's going to do? He's going to flunk the course. Now, there's some of us that probably skimmed through school that we wish we'd have studied a little harder. We wish we'd have stuck our nose in the book a little more. But I want you to think about when it comes to the Bible. However, if we fail to do what the Bible tells us, we'll be lost. And think of that contrast. This is the book that will judge us in the day. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 12th chapter. In the book of John in the 12th chapter, notice the statement of Jesus in verse 48. Jesus said, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. In 1 Peter 1:22, and you will remember that when Peter was writing, he talks about you purified your souls. How? In obeying the truth. That is the reason we teach people to obey all the truth. As Jesus said in John 8, that the truth shall make you free. So the Bible demands to be obeyed. The Bible demands we follow the word and will and way of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read this morning in verse 5, talking about baptism. Some people say, is that an important teaching? Absolutely. He said, there's one you can't immerse or sprinkle, or you can't sprinkle or pour. One must be immersed. One must be buried. One must go under the water. One must obey the gospel. As we read this morning in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, what did He say to the people in verse 8? He'll bring vengeance, flaming fire, on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. So the Bible demands to be obeyed. But there's a fourth thing. The Bible demands to be lived. You know, many books have been written to advise men how to live and have peace. But the Bible doesn't offer advice. It demands that we should mold our lives to be obedient to its will. In your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Titus in the 2nd chapter. And when you come to the book of Titus in the 2nd chapter, notice with me verse 11. In verse 11, notice what Paul tells the young evangelist. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He says that the Bible teaches us to what? Deny ungodliness. That I deny self of immediate pleasure to please God. That there are some things God prohibits, God restricts, not to harm us, but for our own good. And God, as a heavenly Father, gives us those restrictions or gives us commands to do certain things, not to bring a killjoy, but as we said last week, bring real joy, that we'll live a life to His glory. And He says, you are to be children of light. That's what He says in Ephesians 5:8. But the negative side of that's in Ephesians 4:17 when He says, you do not walk as others. The Bible is to be lived. We are to be living epistles, Paul said. When we go about in the world, when we walk about in Shovel, Tennessee, and people see us, do they see a living epistle? Do they see that we are people of faith, that we are people that believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Can they tell that we're different? The Bible demands to be lived. I'll tell you, my friend, that's a great demand. There's a lot of people who may study, And there's a lot of people who may look at it and believe parts of it. And there may be some that will be willing to obey it. But when it comes down to living it, you'll find a lot of people want to draw the line there. But I'll tell you something else. The Bible demands to be defended. Now some argue that truth needs no defense. Truth is truth whether defended or not. And that's right. But I'll tell you, truth can be nullified without a defense. Paul said, I am set for the defense. He says that in the Philippian letter. He says it in 1 Corinthians 9. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you come to 1 Peter chapter 3, look at what Peter tells the Christians in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You have a defense. You're going to defend the truth. In 1 John chapter 4. Notice in 1 John 4, he said, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Make sure what is being taught is true and defend the truth. That's what Jude said in Jude 3. Contend earnestly for the faith. The faith that was once delivered. Do you ever defend the truth? If someone's throwing off on the Word of God, do you defend it? Do you take a stand for what God has said? But I want you to think of one last thing. The Bible demands it be the sole authority. Open your Bible to 2 John and look at verse 9. In 2 John and verse 9, he said, Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. There's no other doctrine. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, Whether I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what has already been preached to you, let him be accursed. He said, There is no other gospel. This is it. It's the sole authority, and the Bible is sufficient. It is the sole rule of authority in all matters of religion. You can pull out every creed, every catechism, every doctrine of men, and I'll tell you, those are not the final authority. In fact, they have no authority in matters of religion. The Bible is the sole authority. This is the book God has given. And if ever there was a book I wanted my children to know, it's this book. Oh, we've been homeschooling our children, and it's important that they learn certain things. But if I could get them to learn one book, and if only one thing ever sunk into their heart, I'd want it to be this book. Because when this life is over, it's going to be by this book they will stand in judgment. And so will you. And so will me. I want us to understand the Bible is a demanding book. My question is, have you followed its demands? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you right with the Lord? If you're here tonight and you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Him as the Christ and be immersed.